2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to thank Helen for reading the verses leading up to this passage. And then let's start with verse 15. It says, "And considering that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." And the title of the message is Peter's Final Concerns. Peter's Final Concerns. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of Peter as we have studied it together in your house. Thank you, Lord, that Peter was just really an ordinary man, a commercial fisherman, whom you changed and empowered by your Spirit, and he became the great Apostle Peter. Help us, Lord, to see that you have a plan and purpose for each of us today, that in spite of our past failures in life, Lord, that you can bless us and use us for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today and for the help and the power of the Holy Spirit as we seek your face. Speak to us now from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you agree with me that we are definitely living in changing times? Would you say yes to that? Tremendous changes that are going on in our world, changes that are going on in our nation. I appreciate Brother John's prayer for our country and his prayer this morning. In our own country, we are seeing it change dramatically before our very eyes. Saw an article where most young people today, and we're talking about young adults in their mid-20s to lower teens, think that there's nothing wrong with socialism, that we should be considering socialism for our country. And those of you who are experienced of our years of going through the Cold War know how dangerous that kind of thinking is today. But we're really living in changing times. And this has spilled over in the spiritual realm as well. There are biblical beliefs clearly taught in the Word of God that were once held firmly without any question or hesitation by churches and different church groups and Christian organizations. These were things that there was no compromise on at all because of the way the Bible clearly taught on these subjects, that today in some circles are being questioned. And people are doubting what the Bible clearly teaches and changing their views on things, convictions long held by Bible-believing Christians. And we are really living in kind of troublesome times, changing times. And if there's ever a time when we need to know what we believe and be able to point out and defend it in God's Word and know that this is truly what God's Word teaches and that God is an unchanging God, this is the day and age we really need to do that and to be students of the Word and be able to not only understand for ourselves what we believe, But to be able to explain to others why we believe it and why these biblical truths and beliefs are a part of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to wonder then, if the Apostle Paul was living on planet Earth today, what would he be thinking about these changing times that we are living in? What would Peter think about all the changes that are going on in the world today? Well, I've got news for you. The Apostle Peter was aware of the fact that in the last days, these things would be happening. God had revealed to the Apostle Peter and really to a lot of the apostles that the closer we got to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more these dramatic kind of changes and this falling away from biblical beliefs would be happening in our world. As you read the New Testament epistles, you'll see that again and again and again are warnings of the fact that in the last days, the perilous times will come, that these are changes that the Bible predicts will happen in as we get closer to the end of time here. And so God did show Peter these concerns. And so here we are at the end of our study of the life of Peter. And 2 Peter is the last letter, the last scripture that the Apostle Peter was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit. And so as he comes towards the end of his last letter, and most Bible scholars believe that Peter was put to death shortly after he wrote these words, that he was crucified in Rome because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is really a man with only a few days or months or weeks left in his own life. And as he comes to the end of his life, here are his final concerns. Here are the things that he is most concerned about, not only in his days, not only in his lifetime, but as he looks ahead to the future generations of believers, and as he looks ahead to the future concerning the church, his final concerns. And so in the closing words of this last epistle, Peter shares some of his final concerns for the church as he faced the end of his own life. And so we're going to notice those briefly in our time here together this morning. First of all, notice that Peter was concerned about the faithfulness of believers. Look again at verse 17. He says, "You therefore, beloved," and he's writing now to fellow Christians who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and were also beloved by him and beloved by the Lord Jesus, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand," and Peter had shared in other times his concerns about future events, and he had told others of what Jesus said would happen in the last days as well. He says, "Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness." His concern was about the faithfulness of believers, not only in his time, but in the generations to come, right on up to you and I today, that we would be steadfast in our faithfulness to the Lord. I had, believe it or not, you may find this difficult to believe, but back when I was in high school, I ran track. And my track coach was a fellow by the name of Elvin King. He later on became the track coach of Cedarville University, and they've named a cross-country racetrack after him where they run races even today. But back in my high school days, he was my high school track coach. And he had a saying that he kept telling all of us as runners on the track team. He would say this again and again, "The greatest ability is dependability." The greatest ability is dependability. Maybe you've heard that saying yourself sometime in your past. And it was true. Anybody can start off the race well, but it's how you finish the race that is so important. And so it was important for us to be steadfast and dependable. Well, Peter was concerned about the dependability and the steadfastness of believers. And the word that he uses for steadfast here in verse 17 has especially the idea of being steady in the way that you think, a steadfastness of the mind, so that to be steadfast, to be dependable, to be faithful, it all began in the battle that takes place in our thinking, in our way of thinking things through. To be a faithful believer in how we thought and in turn of how we believed. Spiritual battles that you and I face today usually begin in how we're thinking. And if we get off on how we're thinking, we're on our way to losing a spiritual battle. It's so important that we be steadfast in our thinking and faithful in our thinking and have a biblical mindset to stay steady and dependable as a believer. Think back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. When Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, do you remember what the attack was? It was on how she thought. Listen again to the words. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Now, where is the attack that Satan is making? What method is he using there? He's getting her to doubt. He's getting her to think, well, maybe God didn't mean what he said. And so that spiritual attack began in the mind. The word of God was questioned. The word of God was reinterpreted. And the truthfulness of God's word was denied. And that led, of course, to Eve's disobedience. And so what should we be doing if we want to be steadfast and faithful in our walk with God and in our faith in God's word? We have to guard our thoughts then. Now, everybody has questions from time to time. There are times as you read the Bible, you say, well, how is that? I don't understand all the things here. And that's just a normal part of the thinking process when you have a question about something. But it's important for us to not allow our questions that we don't know the answer to yet to turn into doubts about God and His Word. Don't ever doubt the character of God. He is an unchanging God. Our Savior is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. And so don't let your questions turn into doubts about the goodness of God or the love of God or the kindness of God. That does not change one bit, no matter what our circumstances are in life. And so we need to guard our thoughts and make sure that we don't end up with our questions turning into doubts about God and who He is and the truthfulness of God's Word. Pam and I last night watched a video about the life of the late evangelist Billy Graham. And in his story, the retelling of the story of his life, He reached a critical moment in his life. He had gone through Bible college, and he was out just in the early years of his ministry preaching and teaching. And he had some buddies of his who were starting to question and doubt the Word of God. And as Billy Graham told the story in his own words, he got to the point where he started to have questions himself. And so finally he went with his Bible off to a wooded area, an isolated place. He took his Bible and he put it on a tree stump. And he says, God, he says, I don't understand everything in this book, but I believe that it's the Word of God, and I'm not going to question it. I'm going to believe it. And what I don't understand, I'm going to just take it by faith. And beloved, that's really the answer, isn't it? If God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And so here, that is an area where we need to make sure that our belief is not eroded away by doubts. Mom being here, she might remember this, that when we lived on Diagonal Road in LaGrange, Ohio, there was a huge maple tree that was right next to the house. And a beautiful tree, a big tree, and that tree had stood for many, many decades. In fact, my dad and I estimated one time that the tree was at least 20 years older than the house, and the house had been built in 1843. So, I mean, think about it. This was a tree probably back in the 1820s, just a couple of decades after it became a state, the state of Ohio. But that beautiful tree, and we would play around that tree, and we would put a tire on a rope on the tree branches and swing on it. That beautiful tree, one day, some expert came by and looked at it, and he says, you're going to have to cut the tree down. And we said, well, why? And the reason why is, though, even though on the outside it looked beautiful, he discovered that inwardly the core of the tree began to rot out. And so we had to take that beautiful tree down. Looked great on the outside, but it was really in a dangerous situation. That tree was twice the size of our house. And if it had toppled over, there went our home. And so we had to cut it down because it wasn't as strong as it should have been. It had gotten weak. And we need to guard our faith. And we need to make sure as a church and as individual Christians, we stay faithful and steadfast in our walk with God, in our knowledge of God, and in our obedience to God's Word. Well, there's a second thing that Peter was very concerned about. Peter was concerned about the deceptive influence of the error of the wicked. Look again at verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Being led away with the error of the wicked. You ever want to go someplace with another family or another couple, and they were in their car and you were in your car, and they said, just follow us and we'll get you there. And so you got in your car and you started following the other car, and you kept making different turns and then turning around and coming back, and suddenly it dawned on you that the one that you were following didn't really know where they were going. You ever have that happen to you? And so now not only were they lost, but you were lost. You didn't know for sure where you were. And you probably felt, I really should have found the directions myself, and instead of depending on this other person and following them, I should have just known where I was going myself. And this kind of illustrates the danger that all of us face. It is so easy to be influenced by others. It is so easy to find some Bible teacher who is easy to listen to, or pick up a book that seems to know what it's talking about and read it, or listen to this speaker, or listen to the advice of someone and say, well, I should be able to trust this and believe this, and end up being led away with the error of the wicked. That's what it's talking about here. We've got to be aware of the fact that we can be influenced by the directions that others take. We can be misled to go in the wrong direction ourselves. And so we need to take personal responsibility about the way we live our life, the way that we believe, the way that we behave ourselves, the convictions that we hold to. We need to study the roadmap that God has given us for ourselves. And what roadmap is that? It's this one. It's this. And be careful about being influenced by the error of the wicked, because that could end up leading you the wrong way. Peter, in another part of 2 Peter, talked about the wandering of the wicked. This is what he says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. It says, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped, those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome." In other words, whoever you are allowed to influence and control your way of thinking, "by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." Watch out for the wrong influences that you can come in contact with. Be careful about the error of the wicked and being led away with the error of the wicked. And then there's one more thing that Peter was concerned about. Peter was concerned that each believer's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was a growing relationship. Look at verse 18. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Peter wanted every believer to grow, to not just be saved and just happy that they're saved, but not grow spiritually, but that each and every one of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the intention is that we go from our salvation each day of our lives growing in our walk with God, growing in our knowledge, growing in our relationship with the Lord. You ever have a plant that you put in the flower garden and it just sat there and it didn't grow? And you'd say, well, what's wrong with it? And you'd water it and you'd put some fertilizer on it to try to get it to grow. We were given eternal life when we trusted in Christ, and the purpose of that life is to grow. We need to be growing. And so Peter wanted each believer to grow, and grow, first of all, in the grace of the Lord. The Christian life is a life of grace. And grace was a major theme in what the Apostle Peter wrote and talked about. How often he referred to the grace of God. When you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he says in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Christian life is a life that is centered on the grace of God. We're saved by grace through faith. We grow by grace through faith. We live the Christian life by grace through faith. And we depend on God's grace and not our own strength. And so Peter wanted believers to grow in grace, but he also wanted believers to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the things that Peter had to deal with towards the end of his life was a heresy that was creeping into churches. See, there were false beliefs and heretics in the earliest days of the church. The one that they were fighting in his day and age was called Gnosticism. And basically, Gnosticism said that you can have a special knowledge, a spiritual understanding and knowledge that you get apart from Jesus, a special knowledge that just you have yourself within you. And that through that special knowledge that's deep inside of you, you can know all the things you need to know. Do you see the danger of that belief? That instead of getting your knowledge from Christ, instead of getting your knowledge from God's Word, you just have that knowledge deep inside of you. And Paul and Peter both warned about this Gnosticism. And Peter wanted the believers in his day to find their knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. The son of Jonas, Simon, the commercial fisherman, went from a common, ordinary commercial fisherman to the apostle Peter, one of the great leaders of the early church. How did he do that? It wasn't through his own knowledge. In fact, they were considered to be unlearned men. They uneducated fellows, him and his fellow fishermen. But they knew that they were special because they could tell that they had been with who? With Jesus. And it amazed the Roman world. Here's this ordinary fisherman. But look, he is the Apostle Peter, the rock. And they knew that he got his knowledge and his wisdom from the Lord. And that's what you and I need today. When we face a world that is increasingly against the gospel and against the Bible, we need to get our knowledge from God. We need to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more concern that Peter had. Peter was concerned about the glory of God. Do you see how he ends this whole letter in verse 18? He says, "To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Peter was concerned that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified. Peter knew he was not perfect. He knew all about the mistakes that he had made in his own life. But he also had great moments of victory. It was Peter who left everything behind to follow Christ. It was Peter who was the first to recognize that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, and he told everybody about it. It was Peter who trusted Jesus enough to walk on water. Something no one else has ever done, as far as I know. But Peter actually walked on water because he trusted in the Lord. God entrusted Peter with the keys of the kingdom through Peter's ministry. The Gentile world was brought into the church. And it was Peter that God used to open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. It was Peter who wrote 1 and 2 Peter. And it was through Peter's preaching that the Gospel of Mark came about. I didn't tell you this, I don't think. You see, when Peter got older, he needed somebody to tag along with him to help him out. You know, carry a suitcase and stuff like that. And so who did he get to help him out? It was a young fellow by the name of Mark, who was the nephew of Barnabas. Remember Barnabas in the book of Acts? And Peter certainly knew him when he was just a young man. And so Peter had John Mark go with him from place to place and help him out as he preached in various places. And as Peter is preaching, and you can imagine Peter preaching about what Jesus said and what Jesus did, here is Mark taking it all in, listening, probably writing down notes and stuff. And later on in young Mark's life, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote down the Gospel of Mark. And that's how we got the Gospel of Mark today. And Peter even had a hand in that, didn't he? Think of how God used the life of Peter. But through it all, Peter's priority was that the Lord Jesus Christ get all of the glory and praise. The life of Peter tells us, no matter what our past may have been, no matter what mistakes we may make, no matter how badly we fail the Lord, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. No matter what, when we follow Jesus and we are trusting in Him as our Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross for our sins, took all of the punishment that we deserve upon Himself, and was buried and rose again the 3rd day, and Peter was one of the key witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you trust and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now you can live your life for the glory of His name, you as well as Peter can faithfully serve the Lord through His grace and through His knowledge. Peter is a great example of all of that. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the life of Peter and how he, in so many ways, gives us an example of what not to do and what to do. And as we think of his final concerns, O Lord, help us to be concerned about Your glory, Lord. Help us to be concerned about our faith, that we would be walking and growing in our walk with You. Help us, Lord, to be aware of the fact that others could mislead us if we follow them instead of following Christ. Help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. Pam and I are going to sing a chorus that's going to be the chorus of the month. And we want you to, most of you, I believe, know this already, but we want to sing this at this time. And then we'll go right into communion. Men, if you'll be ready. And Sherry, I probably need that lapel mic as well. Oh, it is down here? Okay, great. All right, thank you. What's that? Yeah. Oh, I'm only singing. Okay. Okay. I thought you were going to help me. Sorry about that. We didn't rehearse this, so. Yes, Lori was going to do this, and she got called into work, so. That's why I'm doing it. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, Here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. And we'll be going over this again in the weeks ahead. Is it on now? Okay. Maybe a little bit. There we go. Good. Well, as we